Welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites. Here's your host, Dr. Bill Griffin.
Today's episode of Dental Soundbites revolves around a recent global health outreach mission trip to Rwanda. I had the privilege of being part of the team, which included both a dental and a medical component. Our 19-person team treated over 2,100 patients during the 5 days of treatment. And although most of our patients did not speak English, local pastors made sure that the patients knew Jesus was the reason we were there. It was a tremendous week on several levels, and I'm here today with two of my Rwanda teammates, Dr. Herb Gorin and Pittsburgh dental student Nick Green. Let me briefly introduce each of them to you. Herbert Paul Gorin, DDS, has been in the dental field for 45 years, and for 25 of those years, he has also been raising sheep. He and his wife, Laura, have participated in over 50 international mission trips and have loved meeting, serving, and sharing Jesus in their travels. The friendship they've developed over the years has enriched their Christian faith and lives beyond measure. Nicholas Green is a third-year dental student at the University of Pittsburgh School of Dental Medicine. Nick and I met virtually on several CMDA Zoom calls. Then we finally met in person on a dental mission trip to Jamaica in December of 2024, followed by our Rwanda trip with Global Health Outreach 5 months later. And we look forward to sharing with you how the Lord energized and equipped us for international dental ministry. Herbie and Nick, welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites.
Hey, great to see you.
It's good to be here.
Now, Herbie, get us started here. I know you've done a ton of dental mission trips over the years, all over the world, many with your wife, Laura. What keeps you going back for more?
It's an addictive thing. I think, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And quite frankly, you know, there's nothing greater as far as a blessing goes than to be able to just love on the people that you come in contact with, make new friends. And, you know, the week that we came back, the next thing you know, we're taking people out from the Dominican Republic that we hadn't seen for a couple years. And one young man, he actually ended up going to dental school and is now at Howard's Dental School in D.C. So, you know, it's just wonderful. The friendships that you make, the people that you get to help, you know, you go to a place like this to be a blessing. But you're the one that gets blessed.
Very true. You know? Very well put. Now, Nick, you're in your fourth year of dental school at the University of Pittsburgh. What initially inspired you to pursue a career in dentistry?
Well, I'd say I was really young, probably around 5 or 6. Both my parents were nurses, and my father told me, you know, if you want to be happy, you need to do a job where you help people. So kind of going off that, I recognized at a young age that my dentist was someone that helps people, and he had just very good relationship with me. And I noticed, shadowed him as I got into middle school and high school, just had good relationships with all his patients, and they really admired him. And he really was just motivated by what he could do for people. You know, wasn't really a Christian at the time, but I could see how God was leading me back then to do something where I could truly, heal people in a sense. And just have that impact on people. It's really grown since then, but that was the start.
Well, that's fascinating. When did faith become central in your life, Nick?
Third year of undergraduate, I went to the Indiana University at Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Came to a point I turned to Christ after a dark time in my life. And somehow when I came out the other side of that, dentistry was still what I wanted to do. And I wasn't sure what it looked like to be a Christian and a dentist. But luckily, pretty quickly, I started to meet Christian dentists and started to see, wow, this is something God can really use for his kingdom. And this is something that God has led me to on purpose. And through dentistry, I can glorify God and I can live for Jesus in this career.
Well, that's tremendous. You and I have something in common because we both chose dentistry before we realized what a powerful vehicle it is for the gospel. And it's great that the Lord was, it's almost as though he was preparing good works for us that we should walk in them. Now, about six months before Rwanda, you and I had the opportunity to serve on a dental mission team in Jamaica. At CMDA, we have a lot of students who serve in Jamaica, but not so many that venture into Africa. How did that Jamaica trip go for you, and what made you decide to jump onto the Rwanda team so soon thereafter?
Well, Jamaica was my second dental mission trip, and I had heard about Rwanda while eating, I think it was either breakfast or dinner next to you. I was just telling you about kind of my path at school and how I just really love mission trips. I wanted to see, you know, what does a career in that kind of field look like? And you told me, well, would you be interested in going to Rwanda this summer? And it seemed like an awesome opportunity. I think there's not really a barrier that was put up to it ever since you told me about it there. God really opened every door for me to go. So yeah, I heard about it in Jamaica. That's, I think I decided right there. I really wanted to go and went.
Now, we had a good sized dental team in Rwanda, including U.S. dentists, also Rwanda dentists, and one from Slovenia. We had a total of about six or seven dentists seeing patients. But Herbie and Nick, it seems like you two were always working next to each other. Herbie, how did that happen?
Well, I needed help. So Nick was able to bail me out of every situation I got stuck in. So Nick, I thank you for all the help that you provided.
No, tell the truth. Tell the truth.
It was just great. I mean, I've always, Nick is one of these guys that when you start working around him, you want to be next to him because he's life-giving. And he's just full of energy. He's just full of life. He's full of love for the Lord. And he really loved the people that he was treating. And wow, when you're around people like that, you just want to be next to him and near him.
I didn't really, going into the trip, wasn't too sure what capacity I would be serving as a student because I was the only student out of, you know, seven dentists. So I didn't know if I was going to be like assisting, helping out, like what capacity I would be serving. And as soon as we got there, Dr. Herbie looked at me as we were setting up for the first day. He goes, you're going to be next to me. You're going to be extracting teeth next to me. And yeah, it was a blessing that just to have him there to, I've not that experience of having like a one-on-one teacher for, you know, 5 days was just something I've never had before. Someone to not just, you know, bail me out, but really help me and teach me in difficult situations exactly what to do and to hands-on learn in the moment was such a cool experience, something I haven't had since, you know, starting this.
Now, it seems clear that both of you are likely to be involved in dental mission trips in the years to come. I have a question for each of you. When you contemplate going on a dental mission trip, what are some of the things you look for? In other words, what factors would make a trip attractive to you? Nick, I'll let you go first.
I'd say so far, basically, I've had kind of not, the opportunities have just been kind of presented to me of the school doing different mission trips. And I knew some mission trips were through clubs and some were, you know, through Christian clubs, like through the CMDA. And I knew that the trip was about serving Christ, about showing love, showing the love of Christ through our dental care. So that makes the decision pretty easy. And then, yeah, just opportunities through dentists that I know. I don't know. I haven't really had kind of like, not that this is a bad thing, but not really options, but just like, oh, where does God want me to go next? And then it seems like everything points to a certain trip or a certain place. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I will just state what I think is the obvious, which is that as you continue in your dental career, you will have more options than you can shake a forceps at. And you'll likely develop more and more criteria to determine which trips do you say yes to and which do you have to say no to. And I'll ask somebody with just a little bit more experience, Herbie, how about you? Out of all the possible trips you could go on, what do you look for in choosing a trip?
Oh, we just pray about it. We look at the options, we pray. Because Laura, my wife, we essentially always go together. And she works as a nurse and runs triage normally on the trips. And we really do. We pray about it. And a lot of times if it's friends, like we're going on a trip that we'll be in Vietnam and then Thailand together. And then with some other friends that we met in Colorado, not long ago. They live in Tennessee now, and the other couple who's their pharmacists, they live out in California. And a lot of it is perpetuated on, you know, friends from before. So, you know, it's friendships. It's going back to the same places. It's going back to places that are really in need, though, also. And here on this Rwanda trip, we just fell in love with the people. We fell in love with Thomas Lee and his wife, Lita, and just the heart that they had, their humble spirits. Golly day, I mean, who would not want to try to help them? So I've been doing some things back in the States here to try to help even their ministry. So that's been kind of fun also. But the first thing that we really do is we just pray, and we just feel if God feels us leading. And if we both feel that way, then by golly, we'll go. And that's how we felt about the Rwanda trip. I'd prayed about it individually. Laura prayed about it and brought it to me because we actually left on my birthday. So it was one of those, it was kind of a wild time turning 70 to go on a trip, but it was good. Mm.
And I'm glad you brought up Thomas Lee. For our listening audience, Dr. Thomas Lee and his wife Lita were in private practice for decades in Southern California. But about 4 years ago, they sensed the Lord calling them to Rwanda. And at a point in time where some dentists are retiring and just looking for however much enjoyment they can find in life, Thomas and Lita have found great enjoyment in Rwanda. Mm-hmm. And not only providing dental care, but finding others to connect with them to provide dental care. And CMDA is currently working with them to establish a CMDA Residency Plus program in Rwanda. And I very much look forward to continuing to work with them, as I hope you all will have the opportunity to do as mm-hmm. well. Now, it was easy to see in Rwanda that the love of Christ controls both of you. You each seek to point others to Christ through the care you provide on the mission field. Herbie, when you were in private practice, what were some of the ways you sought to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ through your dental care?
Well, that's an interesting question. When folks came into the office for the first time, I had all over the walls in my waiting room, I had collages of all the trips that Laura and I had gone on. Mm-hmm. And those collages, you know, they would spur questions. And the questions that people really wanted to know, I would say, do you really want to know? And I would share, be able to share that we would spread the love of the Lord that way. And that prompted, I always had something that that I did throughout my practice years. Men would sit there oftentimes and they'd say, I'd really like to talk to you. And I would say this, I'd say, great, I'll take you out to lunch, you drive, I'll buy. And I never did that with women. I didn't think that was appropriate. But for the men, and I saw men that would come to the Lord over lunches, and they had struggled with certain things in their life, and it was great to come alongside them and pray with and for them. And, you know, because if they come out and you're paying for the lunch, you know, you have a carte blanche not to sit there and jam Jesus down their throat, but you just want to share whatever the light the Holy Spirit gives you. Share that. And then we always openly prayed with patients in the chair. Mm-hmm. And if patients, and I would ask, you know, I would ask, would you mind if I shared and prayed with you now? And they said, or could I pray for you first? And they say, I would like that. And I'd say, well, if you don't mind, because I'm pretty dumb, I won't remember later. Could we pray for you right now? And I always did that. We laid hands on the person, whether it was male or female, my assistants and myself, and we would pray for them. And, you know, it's funny because now that I'm retired, some folks have come back to me and families and said, you were really close to my dad or you were close to whoever, my loved one. Would you officiate their funeral service? Mm-hmm. And could you come out and visit them now? So it's neat to know that we can have an impact on those people that we love and that we care for. And I know I'm kind of being long-winded, but remember one thing, and it was taught me, and it's so true. Never treat a patient, always treat a friend. Mm. And if we remember that, the Lord will be preeminent. We just need to make sure that we do that. Because if we truly care for our people, they're not patients, they're not teeth. They're people, and they're people that have needs, and we violate their space, and we have a privilege by violating their space. So you know, I think that God's opened up that door for us to be able to do just that.
I love the connection you make between international service and domestic connections as well. Because when you come back from trip and you've done a number of trips over the years, patients will often say, well, where did you go last and how was the trip? And we can answer in different ways. But I think it's a privilege to answer in ways that would inspire and challenge them regarding how we saw the Lord at work. That can inspire Christians in their faith, and that can make non-Christians think. And so the opportunities for outreach, for gospel outreach on the mission field, don't end when you get back home. And I'm so glad you seized that opportunity, Hervey.
You know, one thing I also had is I had a mobile unit. I had an aseptico unit. And when I was home, I treated my aseptico unit like a mission field in that if I knew I had a patient that was in hospice or I was called on because somebody had a toothache and they were confined to bed, and especially the dying people, I would take it to them. Just like I was on the mission field, I would not charge. Oftentimes, I'd bring a little devotional book along. I always asked if I could pray with them. I took care of their needs. I would not charge them any money. I treated it like a mission field back home. That was a great thing, having my own aseptico unit, because it truly afforded me the opportunity to be able to do just that.
That's a great suggestion as well. In fact, I will just mention that there's a good likelihood that GHO will have some aseptico units for sale in the not-too-distant future for dentists who might want that local opportunity as well. Now, Nick, you're obviously early in your career, and Lord willing, you'll have many years ahead of you to practice dentistry. But even at this point, how could you see yourself pointing patients to Christ through the care that you provide?
I'm very fortunate every time I go on a mission trip to meet dentists that have, you know, followed Christ's example and how they're dentists, and their examples that I can model after, like everything Dr. Hervey just mentioned, are all things I'm writing down, things that ideas for me on how I can, you know, show that light to my patients. I get to practice it a little bit with the patients I have now, still learning, still trying things out. I think the mission trips has been one way that I have an opportunity just to share a little bit with my patients. At dental school, you don't have many patients, so you're kind of in charge of scheduling your own patients too. And when my patients want to be seen really soon, like next week, and I tell them, oh, I'm going to be on a mission trip that week, that's a good way for me to, break the bad news to them that I can't see them, but also to mention to them that I'm going to be going on a mission trip and why do I go on a mission trip kind of thing. Definitely trying to grow in areas of, praying with patients and kind of difficult environment at school, but I definitely see that there is a window there. Hopefully, be able to have the confidence to do that. I'll keep praying and I'm asking the Lord where he's calling me to, go deeper with my patients, just care for them on not just the physical level, but a spiritual level.
Now, Nick, last year you were part of the first ever Great Commission Dental Conference. I notice you're registered for this year's event as well. Share with our student members, what made you want to go back again this year?
It's kind of like a mission trip that I just said, like you meet dentists who are great examples to follow, except it's like 100 times that, because there's so many dentists there who are missionaries, who are faithful dentists in private practice, and they want to like talk to you and share with you and just literally help you in any way they can while you're at that conference. And it's just an opportunity that you don't have anywhere else, that, a conference where people are coming together, for Jesus, and also that dentistry is the field that we're called to. It's very unique. I think anybody who considers themselves a Christian dentist, it's can't miss opportunity.
Wonderful. And if I recall, I think you were able to secure a pretty good sized reimbursement for one of your mission trips at that conference as well. So that's one of the added benefits that students have. My next to last question is for Hervey. Hervey, and this is a hard one, I have to say, okay? Now, you spent most of your days in dentistry, I think 45 years, also raising sheep. Do you see any connection between teeth and sheep?
I will say being a shepherd has been just a wonderful gift for Laura and myself. We we love our sheep, we love our flock, we love our four kids, our 11 grandkids. I mean, we've been blessed. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the mission field, I'm really serious about this. Knowing the Lord and walking with him has been an honor. And knowing him, first of all, and being preeminent in our life has been the key. But when we started traveling on the mission field, the blessings that have flown from that have just been so extraordinary. And even when I was having my heart attack, I was only a few hours away from getting on a plane, and I had to call in to say that I wasn't going to be able to make it. And I start getting all these text messages and messages from all around the world because they'd sent out this APB. And I had a Widowmaker, and I was able to live, and which they couldn't believe. And then I had two Mallory Weiss tears, and I watched my blood pressure go 54 over 34 20 hours later. And how I lived through all that, and then I guess a couple of years ago, I was supposed to lead the Rwanda team. I had to cancel out on it because I'd had a stroke, you know. So, I mean, and God just keeps on allowing us these opportunities just to serve him. And as long as I'm able to do that and serve my sheep and in our pastures, you know, that's what it's about. We want to serve. And it's just a beautiful thing to serve and especially serve him.
Well, Herbie, you gave a wonderful answer to a half-serious question. But as I was reading your bio and I noticed a part about the sheep, I remembered something that a Dr. Van Haywood used to say. You know, he's the bleaching king. He's the one that pretty much instituted vital tooth bleaching to the dental profession. And as he would give presentations around the world, he would quote Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 2, which says, "Your teeth are very white, like a group of freshly shorn sheep." So there you go. Now you've got the answer ready. Next time somebody asks you, Herbie.
Well, I have hair sheep. They shed, so they don't need to be sheared. So that doesn't work for me.
All right, fine.
Sorry.
Now, although each of you are at different points in your dental careers, I greatly admire both of you and your desire to use your God-given talents for the sake of Christ. And I'd like to give each of you an opportunity to speak into the lives of our members, both dentists and students, regarding how faith fuels your practice of dentistry. Nick, I'll let you go first, then Herbie can wrap things up.
Yeah, so how faith fuels basically practicing dentistry. Right now it feels like how faith fuels my, you know, career as a student, as a dental student. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a deeper motivation that really I know every day that I'm very, very blessed to have, that I know that if I seek God in what I'm doing, what I'm studying, or the patients that I'm treating, that I'm doing something for his kingdom that, you know, that isn't just, you know, for me, that isn't just for this world, but it goes on it has an eternal impact when I have an opportunity to live out my faith for him through what I'm doing. And I think I'm called to do that. You know, my life as a Christian isn't separate from my life as a dental student. It's what can make me stand out amongst my peers to be able to just speak into their lives, who God is, who Jesus is, what he's done for them, to live that out in front of them. I think it's what, on a big picture scheme, why God has me where he has me right now.
Well, to provide temporal services that can reap eternal purposes, what a deal. What an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Herbie, you've spoken to this topic a lot already, but any closing comments regarding how faith has fueled your practice of dentistry?
You know, interestingly enough for me, Bill, I must say that when people would ask, what do you do? I never like to say I'm a dentist. I just would say I'm a lover of Jesus, you know, because that's truly what we are. You know, God puts us in a position, and Watchman Nee wrote that book, Love Not the World, that wherever he puts us, you know, we should really aspire to do the best we can wherever we are. And I would just encourage each one who's listening that is in the dental field, in the dental profession, before they walk into a room and treat a patient, just say, Lord, if you have an opportunity for me, let me speak life into this man or this woman. you know, mm-hmm. let my ears be open to a need. And sometimes those needs arise and you can see them. And, you know, just be cognizant of the fact that the Lord is always there. Maybe we're not there to hear, but maybe that's because we're too busy. Mm-hmm. So take the time, even in our busy schedules, to try to hear God speak to and through us, so that that way we truly can be vessels that he can use us. That's the beauty of any profession, but especially a profession like dentistry, where you draw so close to people, where you truly are violating their personal space within 3 feet. You're only 12 inches from their face. And I also want to say this, working, and I mean this sincerely, working with both you two men was really such an honor for me. But for Bill, I think you know as well as I, when we are around young men like Nick, number one, we hear so many terrible things about young people. But then you get to meet a young man like Nick, and he loves the Lord. And it just gave us life. It made us so excited to serve there and excited to see him excited. By golly, I mean, if any of you older men and women who are out there that are listening and have not really done mission trips, go and go with young dentists and even dental students. And I will tell you what, the blessing that they are, it's just unbelievable and it's indescribable because they really are just lovely to be with.
Amen. And virtually everything you've said can also be applied to the medical side of things. So in addition to releasing this podcast to our dental members, I will do what I can to get it out in medical circles as well, because the opportunity for mentorship and to see God confirm the work of your hands wherever you are in your career, what a privilege we have in all of healthcare. So I want to thank you each for sharing from your hearts and just let you know what a blast it was working with you in Rwanda, and I hope we get to do it again sometime.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Lord bless you guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Herbie. Thank you, Nick. And Nick, we'll see you at the Great Commission Dental Conference.
Yep.
I know you were inspired, as I was, by the experiences of Nick Green and Herb Gorin in Rwanda, and how international trips can create an opportunity for the gospel, both in the mission field and also when you return back home. And now here are some helpful announcements from my CMDA colleague, Jamie.
Time is running short to register for the Great Commission Dental Conference, and you don't want to miss this one-of-a-kind opportunity. Whether you see patients in a community clinic, private practice, or international settings, there will be plenty of inspiration to be found from 35 unique sessions designed specifically for those of us in dentistry. To learn more and to register, visit cmda.org/gcdc. If you're a skier or a snowboarder, join Griff and other healthcare professionals in Beaver Creek, Colorado, February 28th through March 7th for a wonderful week of teaching, winter fun, and Christian fellowship. The speaker for this event will be Dr. Stephen Coe, a pediatrician and pastor in New York City. His topic for discussion will be his recent book, Faith Embodied. Join us this winter for a great week in Beaver Creek. To learn more and to register, look for the event tile at cmda.org/events.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul reminds us that God has reconciled us to himself, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. As you practice dentistry, whether it's in the States or abroad, I pray that God would give you great opportunities to share the peace of Christ with others, and that he would bless your efforts to enlarge his kingdom. Until next time, God bless.
Thanks for listening to Dental Soundbites. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email dental@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.